From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California, it's the Beer of the Day Podcast. On the program this evening, we try six beers that we brought back from our recent trip to San Diego and recap our adventures in Southern California. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight from Pasadena, Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, and special guest Justin Williams and Scott Sweeney.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Hello.
Doing well. Thank you.
Welcome.
We have special guests. This is the first time ever in the history.
Oh, shit. We're the first special guests?
Yes. For real?
Very first.
Wow.
Makes you the specialist. All of a sudden,
thank you so much for having us. I'm incredibly nervous now, actually.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
I'm gonna screw this up, you guys.
It's good to get some fresh blood in here.
Oh, I don't know how fresh my blood is, but I'll try my best.
But you picked a good one to come in on because we brought back quite a few interesting beers from our trip.
All right.
So the first beer of the day is from our trip to Alesmith, and this is one that we talked about probably a month ago, and it is San Diego 394 Pale Ale from Alesmith Brewing Company. 394 refers to Tony Gwynn's batting average, his highest batting average that he achieved in what year, Jeff?
1994.
And so I read more about this into the story this week, and this podcast will come out on the 28th on Tuesday. We were recording this on the 25th, Saturday night. Starting yesterday and going all this weekend is Hall of Fame week, and where all the Hall of Famers get together in Cooperstown, New York, and it's kind of a celebration for baseball's greats. So Tony Gwynn, Hall of Famer, would always go to these events, and Tom Seaver, who was a pitcher back in the day, would bring his wine, and he would give his wine away to the other Hall of Famers. He wouldn't give his wine away to any hitter that hit him well. So, you know, Tony Gwynn decided that he was going to start come up with his own beer that he could bring to Hall of Fame week. And he wasn't, you know, so the hitters could drink something.
No pitchers allowed.
I think he was going to still let the pitchers have some. I don't know for sure. Anyway, he teamed up with Alesmith. They came out with his beer. They went to his house. They brought all these different types of beers and kind of got an idea of what his palate was. And so this is the beer that they kind of came up with together. Unfortunately, he died 10 days before the first batch of this beer was finished. So he never even got to try it. Wow. But this year, his wife is taking it to Cooperstown for this weekend. And so right now they're going to be being able to try this 394 Pale Ale.
That's awesome.
So the first hit I get right off the nose is just the floral aroma. You know, it reminds me a lot of that Ruination 2.0, actually. Those same notes.
It does definitely has that hop forward smell.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got a lovely color to it, though. Just a bright golden, like almost straw-like color to it.
Yeah, and it's very clear.
Yeah.
Some light bubbles, pretty lightly carbonated.
You know, this is my kind of beer. I you know, started out drinking pale ales, and nowadays I drink a lot of IPAs and double IPAs, and sometimes it's nice to just go back to a good, solid pale ale. And I think this, two sips in, fits the bill.
Yeah, it's really tasty. It's not overly hopped. You do get a decent amount of maltiness out of it, though. Really well balanced. It's a very good just everyday beer. I'm into it. It's only 6%. Yeah, I could drink 3 or 4 of these and be totally cool.
Still good to drive.
<That's> nice. I think it's really crisp. I get a little more carbonation on the mouthfeel than what you would expect, I think, from looking at the beer.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about the taste. It has San Diego written all over it, I think. And just kind of a lighter version of the West Coast IPA, you know. Mm-hmm. I really do. It reminds me of, you know, we've been down there a number of times. And a lot of IPAs you get down there, this is it. It's just a little lighter, you know, a little more easy to drink.
I don't see San Diego anywhere on mine.
Well, you're not looking hard enough.
Oh, okay.
It's in the beer. It's inside.
It's inside the beer.
It's inside there.
It's
somewhere.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as a San Diego brewery, this was the first place we went to when we arrived in San Diego. And it basically is the essence of San Diego. They have, it's a pretty big place. They have, it's like the typical San Diego brewery. They have all their equipment there. They had a couple different beer bars that you could go up to. The place was just packed. It was really, I mean, to get a beer, you had to wait maybe 5, 6, 10 minutes because there were so many people there. But they have, it's very San Diego Padres centric. There's all kinds of stuff on the wall. There's a huge, larger than life mural of Tony Gwynn on the wall and a lot of San Diego Padres stuff. So it's kind of a very San Diego brewery for sure,
especially because it's in a strip mall in an industrial area, which I don't know if this is the case everywhere, but definitely in San Diego, a lot of the breweries tend to be off the beaten path a little bit, and it's in these little obscure places.
Commercial business parks a lot.
Yeah, really? It's cheaper to have it there than have it in a, you know,
well, cheaper, and then the zoning comes into play. So I think that's why you see, you know, it's like, you know, Track 7, Sacramento.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the places up here are doing the similar type of areas that are affordable to get into when you're the small guy.
Yep.
You know, trying to make
it big.
In this
warehouse with a big roll-up door.
Yeah. That's cool.
And we went
to
a lot.
And it was one of the first.
Go ahead.
It was one of the first, you know, one of the most mainstream San Diego breweries, and it's one of the oldest. From the outside, it doesn't look like much, but, you know, inside, it's like Dallas said, it's crowded. It was packed when we were there, almost too packed. But I thought it was easy enough to get a beer, and their beers are pretty good overall.
Yeah, and I think we tried pretty much all of them. They had a pretty wide variety. They had, you know, everything from IPAs to bourbon barrel aged stout to wee heavy, you know, a brown ale. They had all kinds of different ones.
That's what I like the most about Alesmith, as far as the San Diego brewers go. They have a wide variety of beer, and that you can get it here, which is nice. So I really enjoy that.
Yeah, that was cool. It was raining so hard when we were there. They had this tropical storm Dolores, and maybe it was so packed because everyone was just inside. And I think they did have outdoor area, but everyone had to just come out from the rain. So that was probably part of it.
Dolores, she'll get you every time.
Good old Dolores.
She will show up and
she'll show up and make your bed. It sounds like a grandma name. Thanks, grandma.
She might. Well, and pour you a pretty awesome pale ale.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah.
So
it's great.
Really good.
All right. So the later on that day, this was the day that we went to a bunch of different breweries, but we're skipping ahead a little bit. And at each place, we bought beer to come back, but we're going to move on to Mike Hess because we have a growler can, and I'll explain what that is, but it needs to be enjoyed in a reasonable amount of time.
It's an impressive can is what it is.
It's a big can. So I think that these guys invented this way, like they had these cans, and there's no top on the can. And so you would order whatever beer like you would a growler, and then they had this machine that puts the top on the can.
Really?
Yeah.
While you're there.
Well, right there.
So I don't think they invented it, but somebody invented it, and Knee Deep here in Auburn got one yesterday.
Really?
No.
And I've been seeing pictures of people buying them there.
Wow.
And they like at Knee Deep, it's got the whole whatever beer you get, the hoptologist or whatever, it has the full on logo and everything.
That's so cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's a little half gallon.
And they like handwrite with Sharpie whatever beer you put in that can,
just like your growler.
That's amazing.
Well, and the other beer we're gonna try.
Don't tell Dolores.
Mike.
Don't tell Dolores.
the other can, you open it up, and I mean, we all can drink straight out of the can, but it peels off the entire top of the can.
Oh, it's like one of the old school tab cans.
Yeah,
check that out. That's,
check that out. Wow.
Okay,
very unique.
It's like a can of soup or something.
Dude, Mike Hess, if their beers are as cool as their cans, they've got something going.
Yeah. So let me explain this beer. This is, how do you pronounce this? Solis Ocasis.
Solis
Ocasis. Solis Ocasis. This is a beer that they brew in batches, and each batch is different than the one before it. The only similarity is that it's always an IPA, and it's always 7.5% ABV. And this is, in this growler can, is batch 45. I think this one here is batch 44, and they use different hops and different ingredients every time, but it's an IPA, 7.5%, and that's what they are shooting for every time. So,
So just so I know, so although each time it might be a different recipe, they'll come up with a new name each time?
No, it's the same name.
Same name.
Oh.
Different batch number.
Always the same ABV.
And it's different ingredients every time.
And so the one that we're drinking.
So you
right
would
now
think,
45?
Though, they would revisit a batch number, right? That
Maybe they would, but I think the point is that they're always different. They're never
that's
the kinda, same.
That's really neat.
Yeah, the can, they call it a prowler, and I know Knee Deep is calling them a crowler.
Crowler,
which makes sense. I like crowler.
Yeah,
I don't know for sure they came up with it, but they were very proud of it.
Yeah,
it's gotta be
brand new technology because I've just seen them pop up in the last day.
So what we wanted to do here was try these side by side. So it's the exact same beer, just different batches. And one of them technically is on tap because it was this growler feel. The first one you can buy at the store, we don't know exactly what batch number it is, but it's two different batches, but the same beer. So we thought we'd try them side by side and see what we think.
All right.
So don't mix them up.
Well, we didn't prepare to do them side by side. So
I think we do need some more
one after the other.
We're going to do that.
Yeah.
We can do one and then the other, and then
this number 45. Revisit though. This one's number 45 is pretty tasty. It's got a very similar color in the beer and the head as the pale that we just had.
Maybe
it's a little
lighter.
Cloudier.
Yeah, a little cloudier.
But no, it's great. This tastes
it's very light
really
colored
good.
For an IPA.
And for 7.5, this goes down like a little too easy.
Yeah, that's downright dangerous.
Yeah,
it's not. I wouldn't call it a hoppy IPA. It's
nope.
Very reserved.
I'm getting a little bit of like maybe a grapefruit. There's some kind of fruit in there that I'm kind of getting a taste of that's making it a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, I can get that.
Although you wouldn't normally say grapefruit is sweet.
Compared to beer. I mean, you're compared to a hop for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not a sweet beer. I don't want to give that impression.
More tart.
So you guys opened the growler, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Prowler. Prowler.
So this is their most recent batch, the freshest one they have.
Yep.
They have not canned it yet.
They've crowlered it.
Yep. That's it.
So I'm interested on the second beer because it has a little, what do you call it? I don't know.
Best Buy?
No, it has a thing where it says whether it's more malty or hoppy and the little things all the way over to the hops. Mm-hmm. And then it has a light to dark, and it's all the way over to light. So it's a
scale.
Because a light hoppy. A light hoppy.
That's the word I was actually looking for.
That's what you're
looking
at. Scale.
Yeah. A spectrum.
So what are the IBUs in comparison between the two?
Is that does the Prowler say?
I don't think it
does. The Prowler doesn't say. But the other one is 85 IBU.
Okay.
Does the Prowler give any ingredients on there?
No, it doesn't get it. Because the Prowler doesn't know what beer's in it. It just has some handwriting.
It's a generic label.
It's the vessel.
So I went to Mike Hess's website, and they had the whole history. They have all 40 batches up there. It stops at 41. So these ones aren't on there yet.
It's really crisp.
Yeah.
It's very crisp. It's the opposite of what I would expect from a San Diego IPA.
I agree.
Would you say it's more East Coast?
I would. It's not as the dark malt you don't get, but it is malty.
And not too hoppy.
And not hoppy.
Yeah, this is real easy drinking.
And I think we think the IBUs are about the same. I don't have reason to think they're that different. It's probably, what'd you say it was, Andy? 88?
85 plus. 85? It says 85 plus IBU.
I bet the next one is a lot hoppier than this one.
You would think, though, that using the style that they're using to create this beer, they could make one with a lot higher IBU. I mean, they could, you know, they're,
yeah,
if the only thing they're keeping the already, same though. Is the alcohol content,
yeah,
they could vary a lot. And
absolutely.
If that scale is accurate on the side of that can,
it's got to be way, I mean, if it's not way hoppier, then I think they broke the scale.
Or they need to, or they need
don't,
an expanded
they don't know what hops are.
They need to put in half numbers.
Yeah. Very, right. Very good.
All right. Are we ready for the next one?
Yep.
Check that out. That's so cool.
All right.
I like this can. I mean, it makes me want to drink straight out of this can.
I think on the side it says that's perfectly acceptable.
I feel like I'm going to mess this up.
I feel like it'd be kind of dangerous. It might get...
I'm pretty sure the sharp edges come off of...
Oh, it's not sharp?
No.
I just did it. It's perfectly safe.
Good. Okay.
Oh, what's that? I think you're bleeding, actually.
You're bleeding. He's totally bleeding.
It smells a lot hoppier.
It looks similar.
It's pretty much the same.
I think it looks lighter and clearer.
It's lighter and clearer.
Yeah.
Slightly lighter. Similar color, but a little bit lighter.
I think they're pretty similar.
Yeah,
You've got both of them. Look at that. Okay.
Yeah.
Skype, wow. they look exactly the same. Yeah.
We're losing some
resolution.
Yeah.
The head's kind of thin, a little bit thinner on this one, I think, than the previous one.
Bubbles are a bit bigger.
So, Dallas, what did you think about this brewery when we walked, you know, just, this was one of the last ones we went to on Saturday. What was your overall impression?
It was a lot bigger than I expected, because I'd never had Mike Hess beer before. And so I walk into this place, and it's immediately apparent that this place is bigger than all of the smaller ones that we'd been to previous, you know, earlier in the day. Like, there was a lot of, you know, state-of-the-art equipment. You walk in and all the brewing equipment, which is, there's a lot of it, it's all down below. And then they have like all the bar and the tasting room, and it's huge, and it's all like, you know, nice lighting and everything. And it really is a nice looking place. And you walk above the brewing equipment and into the bar, and they have a lot of, you know, different tables and places to sit, and the atmosphere is really cool. Generally, when I see a place that has that type of atmosphere, I think maybe the beer might not be as good as I'd like. Proven wrong. We sampled all the beer they had. The beer was, I was impressed with it, and they were so nice to us. I mean, we told them about beer of the day. They were answering all of our questions, and they were incredibly friendly. So the experience at Mike Hess was great for me, and better than I expected walking into it.
All right.
Yeah. I think that on their scale, they nailed it.
Oh, absolutely. So it's amazing how different they are. They're not even close to being the same beer. That's awesome.
Well, they're both 7.5%.
They're, but other than being that, I can find eight other 7.5% beers that taste totally different too. But
you think they're so different, Andy?
I do. This has got that Citra hop right off the bat. You know, you can really feel that. It's not a super bittery hop. It's hoppy. You can tell it's hoppy. Yeah.
It's more bitter than the.
I think it's definitely brighter.
Oh yeah.
I just think both of these beers for 7.5% are so light in color. It's not what I expect from an IPA at 7.5%.
Right. I was expecting a decent amount more sweetness. They're both just so easy drinking. I would never guess 7.5. I'd say it's more around 5.5. You know, it's ridiculous.
I think if I were to pick one of these two, I would mix them together.
Really?
Yes. Honestly,
try it.
I like this one.
It might not be that. I might try that. Actually, we have them here.
I can do it.
I just want to pull down some of that hoppiness and bring, you know, bring that into the first beer. I like the first beer more, I think. It just,
I think I agree.
You know, it needs a little bit of that Citra hop in there. That'd be nice.
The one we're drinking right now, we don't know. It doesn't have a batch number, right?
That might be the one you're referring to. It might be batch number 28, maybe, is the one that you like.
Yeah, so which batch number is this?
We don't know.
We think it's 41 to 44, one of those.
Okay.
We don't know.
So I'm gonna.
He's going for the double.
I've combined them.
It normally it says on the bottom of the can, but it was smeared off. So like,
oh yeah,
it normally has a little imprint.
Yeah, this one's just blank.
Yeah, this one.
It's normally a little blue.
Could it be 18?
I don't think so.
No,
that's just what you wrote in the condensation, Scott.
Looks like a ghostly 18. Check it out.
Yeah, there is a number on the bottom of the can.
Like, tell me that doesn't look like an. Do you see it?
Was this a four pack, Jeff?
It was.
Yeah.
So I have 17 and 13.
Oh.
On the bottom of mine. But that's not the batch number.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's
so
just
close.
It's age.
Okay.
So
look at you, super sleuth Scott.
They actually just like to write numbers on the bottom of the can to mess with us.
So my number could have been 18, but
I think
doesn't
it could be 18.
Mean it was the batch number.
To be legal, they have to be 18.
Oh, well.
Depends on what state you're in.
In some states,
oh
I was just going
to
say.
I'm ashamed at how long it took me to get that.
I'm going to say this place is my vote, just for the record. I like this one the best.
I like this one the best. This is the combination.
The combo.
I got to try that, actually. Can I borrow some of this?
Absolutely.
But this place was super cool, like Dallas said. Like, walking in, I thought it was like a spaceship.
Are we saving some of each? There's still quite a bit left?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, I'm thinking when...
And for the record...
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
This was like the fifth place we went to that day.
What is this, a relay call? Go ahead.
Yeah, so the fifth place, I'm surprised I have as clear a memory as I do.
I'm surprised you do too, actually. When the story started out, the last place we went to on Saturday, I was like, they're not going to remember any of this, but apparently they do.
You walk, like Dallas was saying, you walk in and all the equipment is below ground. It's like you're walking in on this gangplank or like a bridge that was pretty cool, and the where you actually get the beer is in the back, and just the whole vibe of this place was pretty awesome, I thought.
And coming to us from the moon, Jeff Miller.
Yeah, we're losing you a little bit, Jeff. All right. Oh man, I pushed the wrong button.
Oh no.
All right, we're gonna take our break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment and two more different beers from San Diego. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right. We have a website, beeroftheday.com, and this podcast is one piece of it. But each day we feature a new beer of the day, and we'll text it right to your phone. We'll email it. We'll post it on Facebook and Twitter. And you can rate the beer, leave comments on it. And that's just the beer of the day. But every beer that we have on this show, every beer that we've ever found is on this website. So you can feel free to swing by, look up a beer, and give your opinion on it. It's basically a beer community. There's a section that lists the latest hot topics, beers that people are discussing. And you can participate in that. Also, if you ever wanted to visit a brewery in your area, you can come and click on local breweries in the community menu, and it will show you all the breweries within 50 miles of where you live. And you can swing by on a Saturday, say you got nothing else to do, try some local beer, and if you're there, you can take pictures of the beer you're trying, take pictures of the brewery, and post those on the site. And so Beer of the Day is basically a community for people that love beer to get together and share their experiences. If you're on Facebook, you should like us on Facebook at The Beer of the Day. And if you're on Twitter, follow us at Beer of the Day. And each day we post that Beer of the Day right to you. All right, we have our Strange Brew segment coming up. Let's get back to the Beer of the Day podcast.
We'll be right back.
All right, we have our Strange Brew segment coming up shortly, but we had an idea during the break and decided that it would be a good idea to take those two Mike Hess beers that we had and do a blind taste test comparison. So I took those two beers and poured them into glasses and numbered them one and two, and nobody knows which one is one and which one is two. They think they know because the colors of the beer, one of them is more clear than the other one. One of them is a little more cloudy. So everybody has an opinion on which beer is which, but I think it would be interesting to see how people compare these beers when they don't really know, or even you know, they close their eyes and we mix them up. So let's see what we can come up with here.
All right. So are we closing our eyes now? And then is Dallas going to mix them up?
No, Andy can, you want to mix Justin's right, up?
I'm closing my eyes. And Scott and I are sharing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
because you and I are sharing. Okay. So we'll both close our eyes.
My eyes are closed and my hands are over my eyes.
Now I have
I'm not sure how I'm going
to
grab the glass.
Yeah, I don't have any hands to grab glasses.
Wait, okay.
We're gonna you can close your eyes without putting your hands up.
Oh, how do you do that? Oh, okay, so there's a beer in my hand, and my eyes are still closed. That's amazing. I didn't know I could do that.
No peeking.
I'm not peeking. Oh, yeah. Are you peeking, Justin?
No. Are you? Do you have a beer in your hand?
Is anyone else? Or is it just me and Justin right now?
It's so dark.
We're watching you. Okay.
We thought this would be good for the special guest.
Here we go. So just quick question.
Should we try it with our eyes
closed?
Because
my eyes are closed and your eyes are closed, but do Justin and I have the same one in our hands?
That's a good question.
Is that
what number is it?
I think they do.
I'm going to show you. Look at the color.
You guys both have the same.
We do? Okay, cool. So that's nice to know.
Wait, we both have the same right now?
Yes.
Okay. I think the one that I'm tasting is the one in which we don't know what the batch number is. The one that had the top that pulls all the way off.
The can one.
Yes.
The small can.
Not the Prowler. This is the smaller can.
Think so?
What do you think, Scott?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one. I'm going to say that one is the one that's less brighter on the hop notes.
Do you think it's the first or second one we had on the show?
Second one.
You know what? We're going to have to go. Two. I'm going to have to go to the next one to make a final decision.
Actually, that's actually a good idea.
This is why I love blind taste tests.
Why? Because we all look fucking ridiculous.
I can't see anything.
Yeah, Scott, you're going to get your beer right above your hand.
There's a lot of man touching going on right now.
Okay, where's my...
I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable with you guys, except for Jeff, and that's okay because
you want the other one?
Pasadena.
He can't touch you from there.
Hold on, let me cleanse my palate.
I retract my previous statement. No, I don't know. Wow.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% correct. This is definitely the one that has the brighter notes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree.
This is batch unknown, the first one was batch 45.
Yep, I agree.
Blind test completed.
Holy shit. All right, cool.
I think that was great because you see how much it changes when you have no idea.
We can open our eyes now.
Would you say that those beers tasted more similar now than they did before?
Yeah, I think so, actually. The hops were much more pronounced on the first one than they were when we first tried it. And I'm not sure if maybe it's because it warmed up a little bit and it's opened up.
Let's get back to the point. We were spot on, right?
We haven't actually got a ruling yet.
I wasn't at first. I thought the first one that we tried, because the hops were more pronounced. Scott, you win. I secede.
I win the beer bracelet.
All right. Number one is the one that was in the big can.
The Prowler.
The Prowler.
Prowler.
And then number two.
You
got
to roll the R.
This is
Prowler.
Batch 45.
Number two is the one that was in the pop tops.
Yeah, the pop tops are cool. So is the beer.
Pop top unknown.
Pop top unknown.
All right, so
it's good.
Yeah,
they're both delicious.
So is Scott right?
Yeah, Scott got it right.
I just read the label.
Bam!
On our Strange Brew, and I'm dreading it.
How are you dreading it?
This beer could only end up one of two places. A being, hey, pretty cool and interesting, but still, not great. Or it could just be shit. Completely awful.
Well, why don't we just try this beer, you hoser?
Yeah.
Strange Brew, right? Do it.
Strange Brew. What do we have here? This is Señor Saison from Coronado Brewing Company. Señor Saison. This is a
Belgian style ale brewed with jalapenos.
Oh, God.
And
it.
What?
Piloncillo.
Oh my God, I can smell that.
I think that's snake penis, actually.
Yeah, I think so too. Piloncillo.
I don't think I'm allergic to snakes. I don't think I can drink this, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think everyone's allergic to snakes, actually. You're not the only one that's the venom.
No. Even the non-poisonous ones. I'm allergic.
Oh, they're like the gardener snake?
Uh-huh, yeah.
The coral
snake is my biggest weakness.
I don't think the allergy carries over to the
You
penis.
Had a black mamba as a kid. What are you talking about? I know you.
That's how I developed the allergy, actually.
All right, sorry.
All right.
Can you guys smell this?
I can smell the heat. It's ridiculous.
Color-wise, it looks innocuous.
Man, it looks the same
amazing.
As every other beer.
That smells amazing.
It's a light, yellow straw color, a little bit cloudy, substantial amount of head. It doesn't seem to dissipate too quickly. White, foamy.
Yep. That's definitely beer.
The smell.
Close your eyes and smell it, and it smells like you're about to eat something really good.
Eat something really good, not drink something.
The nose on it is fantastic.
I am typically not a fan of beers that are brewed with chili or peppers or like the spicy beers. I can't do. Like, I like spicy food and beer, but I don't like spicy in my beer.
My experience has been polarizing, where there's none that are mediocre. They're either done really well or they're just awful. We've had. One of the only beers we've ever poured out has been a chili beer, and it was...
Can I throw one out there and see what you guys think of... What do you guys think of Sculpin's...
I think the Habanero Sculpin...
It's another San Diego beer.
With the Angry Swine pizza. It's one of the best food and beer pairings you could have.
Just the hot on hot.
I'll tell you a story about Habanero Sculpin.
Oh, nice.
We were at Ballast Point, and we ordered a Habanero Sculpin. And we dared anybody around us to drink it. I think we paid, Dallas, $200 we were offering? Something like that. $200 for anybody that would chug that beer.
What?
No one would do it? Nobody would do it.
I don't like chili beers, but I would do that for $200.
$200 down there is an
Nobody anything. Would do it. We each had a little sip.
It may have been $2.
He's like, I tipped the valet driver $200.
He just forgot the decimal.
I think it was 200 and nobody would do it.
That is crazy.
I should have gone.
I would
do it in a heartbeat.
I'd do it for that.
I'd do it for 200 and go buy a boogie board head to the beach.
I think that the only, or no, I'm sorry, the first beer that I never finished was from Six Rivers Brewing Company. It was their chili beer. Oh. And it was the first chili beer that I'd ever had.
I wish I remember the one we poured out. I don't remember.
It was probably the Six Rivers chili
beer. Might have been, actually.
It was awful. Ugh. I love Six Rivers. They do good work. But I don't like spicy in my beer.
I'm going to say this is maybe one of the better that I've ever had.
It's not too bad. It is
very reserved. Yeah.
It's reserved. It gets you just on the after note on the back of your throat, but it's not, I think the Sculpin is a little bit too much.
Yeah.
So this is right on the mark as far as blending that great beer flavor with the amount of heat that you want. Present in the beer.
One thing people don't realize is that peppers like jalapenos and habaneros, they have flavor.
Sure.
There's a bunch of spice there. Most people, that's all they taste. But there's a flavor beneath that. And I think you get the jalapeno flavor out of this.
Yeah, I'm getting some smokiness out of this. It's not even really hot.
The best chili beers I've had have been the ones where they're not super spicy. This is
my first experience with a chili beer. Are they typically, hotter?
A lot of them, you feel it down your throat.
Yeah, because it doesn't taste hot. I mean, you get the flavor.
This is way more subtle.
Yeah, most of them, they burn and they're undrinkable and I get heartburn and it just lights you on fire and it's like.
And then you're like, my night's done, you know?
Right, yeah, right. They can really, it could be bad.
Maybe it's more of like getting the oil in the beer. As opposed to this one, doesn't seem like maybe it just has that flavor profile, but not the oil.
Well, one thing that's tough with brewing beer is you can't get oil in the beer. So brewing with things like peppers is tough because it's hard to not get oil in the beer. You really need a powdery flavor.
How do you not get oil in the beer?
You do, but the thing is,
try and hide it.
You try to get as little as possible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it really has an effect on the flavor.
Got it. So little goes a long way.
And your ability to carbonate, oil is a bad thing to have in beer.
Yeah.
But you don't get that with this.
Especially crude oil.
Crude oil. Yeah.
New beer I had last weekend.
It was a stout, right?
Yeah, it was Valdez.
Dark.
Valdez 24.
XM Valdez. This is a
barrel-aged.
And dead pelicans.
Now, I do think with chili beers, I think the style of beer actually dictates a lot of how it's going to turn out. With the Saison, they're typically lighter, brighter. So might balance out the heat a little. With the Sculpin IPA, you've got a bunch of bitter hoppiness to it, and that just kind of pronounces the heat. There's a local brewery out in Rockland called Dragus Brewing. Have you guys had anything from them? They've got a stout that they brew with chilies, or I'm not sure what kind of peppers, but it's called the Stout of Fire. And it doesn't really hit you immediately. It takes you like 3 or 4 sips to actually tell that there's some sort of heat there.
I think that here is the same case, maybe to a lesser degree, but I think, you know, it hotness like that, peppers are cumulative, where as you drink it, it kind of builds up a little bit. And I think on maybe the 3rd or 4th sip, it's a little hotter than the first sip.
They call this a Belgian style. Does anybody like feel that it's a Belgian style?
No.
Saisons are known as Belgians, though, like, right? Like a Saison is a Belgian style.
It is a Belgian style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not what we consider our typical Belgian styles.
It's not a Belgian ale. It's not a Belgian
with that
double
yeast.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you expect when you hear the word Belgian, is that Belgian yeast. You
but Saison, this fits the profile.
Yeah, absolutely.
But actually, I think this works. Bad. Like the jalapenos with the Saison, you know, like, this is much more drinkable for me than something like the Habanero Sculpin,
which I
gravitate towards an IPA. But this jalapenos with Saison seems like a more natural. So, I mean, it's a strange brew for sure, but it seems like a more natural fit.
I think it's the opposite of like the Habanero Sculpin, where Justin was saying like this the Saison balances out. I think it's more that they're doing a Saison style, so they have to be so delicate with the amount of pepper they put in here.
They're intentionally keeping it lighter.
When you do the Habanero Sculpin, you got to put as much power in that as you can. Otherwise, you're not going to get past with the bitterness. So I think
that makes sense.
This is brewed in a very delicate style, and it came out a lot better than I get from most chili beers. And for a strange brew, it's not exceedingly strange. I mean, it's got the chili thing going on, so
it's
that's
just
there.
A hint.
It's just a hint. That's exactly what it is. It's not like the Habanero Sculpin. It's not like any of the other ones where it just builds and builds and builds and builds. This is solid beer. I don't mind it.
Yeah, and at the brewery, I had this beer in one of my tasters, and it actually was quite a bit more peppery there. There was more of that jalapeno flavor. I think maybe in the bottle it tempers it mellows out a little bit. So it's actually better in the bottle from my experience.
I do think that this might be the first chili beer that I actually ask for seconds. Can I get a little more of that?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So just a quick thing about Coronado Brewery. This was our first place we went to on Sunday, our second day in San Diego. And this place is pretty cool. Coronado is one of the bigger ones in San Diego. They had huge amount of equipment, and then they're doing barrel aging. They had barrels all along the walls doing, I don't know what particular styles of beer they're aging, but they're definitely getting into that pretty heavy. San Diego in general is a very dog-friendly place. I think of the 16 breweries we went to, dogs were there and readily
dogs and children everywhere.
Children?
Yeah.
Mostly dogs.
More dogs and children, but I think 11 of the 16 or maybe 12 of the 16 there was dogs all around. Well, Coronado, there was a lot of dogs. And so there was the bar was full and there was a dog sitting. He was must have been part bulldog, part something. But he was a cool looking dog and he would just kind of sleep at the bar, but then he left a gap in the chairs so people could come and order their beers above the dog. And so I'd go and order my tasters, and then as soon as I order, the dog would get up and he would reach up and put his paws on the bar, and he'd look at the beer and check it out and smell it, you know. And but I had to make sure the beers were far enough back so he couldn't get them. But he would do this the whole day. Anytime someone would come and order beers, he'd get up there and check out the beer.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool.
He's like making sure the beer's good.
Maybe that's it.
That's what he's doing.
He was hoping someone left it a little too close to him where he could knock it down.
Lap it up. I'm not too familiar with the where the brewery's located. Is it next to the, I know there's the big white hotel, Coronado Island, right?
The main place is on Coronado Island.
Okay.
But then now they have a bigger tasting room on the mainland.
Oh, got it.
Is that the right word, the mainland?
Yeah, the
sure. Yes. So.
Not the island.
Not the island. But I think they, as they've gotten bigger, they had to expand, and this is probably bigger than their original location.
Got it.
So okay. I haven't been to the original
location. Yeah, I've never been there. So, but it sounds awesome.
It was cool.
I think this is one of the most consistent breweries. Like, you look at their beers, like Mermaid's Red. We really like the Idiot IPA, Islander IPA.
I like the Islander IPA a lot.
I mean, they make a lot of good beers that we really enjoy.
I'm typically not a fan of wit beers, but their Orange Avenue Wit is phenomenal.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. That's definitely a good one.
And I say I'm not a big fan of red ales, but I love the Mermaid's Red.
Mm-hmm. I haven't actually had it. I don't know if I've ever even seen it.
Mermaid Red.
They have it. It's pretty, right. I mean, they're big enough to be where they're distributed pretty widely. So you can get
all of them here.
Yeah. What's all right.
No, I wrote it down. I wrote down Mermaid Red because I'm like.
Mermaid Red.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. The next beer.
I got to think for mermaids.
So,
with red hair?
Who doesn't?
You know.
We went to breweries on Saturday and Sunday. And then on Monday, before we left town, we had to stop at Stone. And we, last week, we did our Stone show. And we tried a bunch of Stone beer beforehand. And we said we're going to go to the brewery. And we did. And took their tour. And, you know, you go to a big brewery like Stone. They are the fourth largest brewery in California.
Third.
Third. Behind whom?
Behind Sierra Nevada and Lagunitas.
Correct.
Lagunitas craft is brewer. Second?
Yeah.
Really?
For craft?
I would have figured Stone would be bigger than Lagunitas.
Well, it could happen here soon. I mean, Stone is, they have their original location in San Diego.
Is this trivia? Are we doing trivia? it's Berlin and Asheville.
Hey, no. That was trivia last week.
Richmond. Oh,
man. Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond. Okay.
Yeah. You sure do know a lot about trivia.
Yeah.
We have a listener. So yeah, they're big, but we went on the tour. They took us around their brewing facility, and it was very cool. I mean, I've been on the Lagunitas
Lagunitas tour is a lot of fun.
Tour?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit different culture.
Sure. Sure.
I went on.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean?
I'm just saying that the culture there is a little different than Stone's.
We went there on April 20th, so it was.
Oh, shit. You guys had a good time.
So just by the number of the month, it was a good day. Okay. Everybody was happy.
A little more earthy. Since we're talking about it, do you guys know the story about the censored from Lagunitas? They tell it on almost every tour.
Yeah.
But it's originally called the Chronic.
Yep.
And there was a guy who really enjoyed that beer. Like, he just kept it in his fridge all the time. And his son came home from college and he was like, oh man, that beer is cool. You know what the Chronic is, right? It's another word for weed. And his dad flipped out and like wrote an angry letter and said, you can't name your beer after weed. Even though there's Budweiser and whatnot, Bud, blah, blah, blah. So the owner of the brewery just took a big black piece of tape and put it over the label and wrote censored on the black piece of tape. And there you've got censored.
Yeah. And if you look at all their bottles and stuff, there's all kinds of
hidden.
Yeah.
references.
Innuendos.
Like Waldo, right? The Waldo beer?
Well, that comes out on 420 every year.
Okay. Yeah. That's a whole nother story. Yeah. So,
anyway.
They're great.
Yeah. Lagunitas is good. Stone, I was also impressed with. They have, obviously, a lot of money, huge facility. You drive up to it, and on the outside of the building, there's nothing that says Stone. It's like very low key, which is weird. Like you go to Sierra Nevada, everything's Sierra Nevada big, right? This place, there's no markings. You just, it's like you open the door and okay, yeah, there's Stone stuff in there.
I was telling Dallas where to park and he was not convinced we were at the right place until we opened the door and he walked inside.
Yeah, it was
like
an office building. There was brewery stuff, you know, silos and stuff around it. So it made sense that it was that.
You could probably smell the beer brewing.
Yeah. Yep. You could, but, you know, I didn't know if this was like the business center of Stone or, but no, sure enough. So, you know, they take you on the tour of the place and show you around. And then they give you a tasting afterward and let you try four different Stone beers. The tour cost $3.
Wow.
If you're not drinking beers, it only was $1. But we decided.
Who goes to a brewery?
That's so cheap. $3.
You ponied up the extra $2.
And you get to keep the glass.
And it comes
with nice. Bought a really cheap glass.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
But like, I think at Stone, there's a big emphasis on the restaurant and the botanical gardens.
Yeah.
And I call it botanical gardens because we walked outside before our tour. We had a beer, and it's this impressive garden, right, Dallas? It was.
Yeah. No.
I mean, it was cool. Like people would go hang out there, but there wasn't much of a tasting room. It was a huge focus on the restaurant, which was fine, but you know, it was, you know, not as commercialized as I expected. I thought Stone was this huge behemoth of a place, and it kind of had this theme park feel, but it was not as bad as I thought.
Well, it's called Stone World Bistro and Gardens, and that's what it is. It's not really a tasting room. It's a restaurant, brewing facility, and botanical garden.
How was the food? Did you guys eat there?
Yeah.
It was good.
Real good.
I heard the food's excellent. Yeah. I haven't been there.
What'd you guys have?
I had the Peruvian-style chicken.
Ooh, that sounds fancy.
Tasty.
I had a barbecue beef sandwich.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, it was good. The food was good.
All right, so are there gargoyles everywhere?
Yeah, a little bit.
Living, right? Yeah. Like living
but
gargoyles.
But not overwhelming, so.
Because that's every time I hear about Stone. That's what I hear about.
Yeah.
I hear about it. But it sounds like it sounds like it's just more, from your guys' experience, that it's more kind of just laid back, kind of calm.
It was very laid back. And a very family atmosphere. Everybody knows everybody. They've all grown from being a little small brewery to employing 2,000 people.
Yep.
And been through that whole experience. But
is it a kid-friendly establishment?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a restaurant.
They welcome
it's a
kids,
full-on,
yeah.
Kids. Right. I mean, there's other breweries that were even more welcoming to kids where they have, like, play areas for kids, you know.
Sand some, pit in the
come,
middle of the
come get drunk and watch your kids.
Non-alcoholic beer for the kids.
Yeah, no.
Daycare like, facility.
Like cool. Golden Road we went to in L.A.
I love Golden Road.
They have a play area for dogs and kids, and, you know, you can come. They have a big sign at the top that says, you know, there's no stigma here. You know, if you're, you know, whatever. They want to invite families and make it that environment.
That's
so,
cool, yeah. All right.
But, yeah, so we brought back a beer from Stone. And this is a different beer. So there's a website called FARC.com. I don't know if you're familiar with FARC. Anyone?
Yes. I thought it was in reference to like firkin, like a cask.
Nope. So FARC.com is a website where people submit weird news stories.
Okay.
And the craziest stories that you've ever heard, or cool things, or stories from Florida. Where like all the crazy news stories happen, where you know all the
bath salts? Is that what you're referring to?
Well, there's some that. Crazy stories I'm just about saying, that. Like, if you ever hear like somebody that flies off the deep end and does something really crazy, normally it happens in Florida.
Yeah, why is that? I don't. What's up with Florida?
Too much sun.
Too much sun.
Jinx, owe each other a beer.
Fark.com is a site where if you're at work and you want to kill a little time, you go there and you can just check out stuff on the internet. The owner, the creator of Fark, is a guy called Drew Curtis. And Drew Curtis is actually a gubernatorial candidate for the governor of Kentucky in 2015 now. So anyway, this guy is he's a funny guy. He's a huge website creator. And, for some reason, Fark.com kind of got intertwined with Will Wheaton, who is an actor.
He's hilarious.
In Stand By Me. He was in Star Trek, The Next Generation.
He has his
blog, willwheaton.net.
And he lives down the street from Jeff.
He
lives in Pasadena.
You know him?
I know that name.
Can't say I know him, but he lives close by.
Have you met him?
Really?
No.
Okay.
He's on Big Bang Theory like every other episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's hardcore nerd.
I'm sure I've had beers with him.
He's big in the nerd culture.
And he's a big craft beer aficionado. He brews his own beer. He
smells amazing.
Is a big fan of Stone, you know, and he's done events with Stone. And so all these Stone, Will Wheaton, Drew Curtis, all intertwined and came up with this beer. And they've come out with several versions of it. And this is the latest.
This is the third one.
The third one.
Yep.
And it's called Farking Wheaton Woot Stout Imperial Stout 13%.
That's a big one.
I love it. It's the name is just long enough where you won't be able to remember it.
If you look at the bottle, it's crazy.
If you drink half this bottle, you're probably not going to remember much. Right. It's 13%.
Yeah, it's definitely
it's up there with
it's definitely spacey.
Bourbon County style.
So we did the Stone show where we drank all the Stone beers, and we didn't do this one.
Oh,
and for like the last 2 weeks, all I can think of is, man, why didn't we do Woot Stout? I know we can get it. Why didn't we do it? And I'm glad we got it here. I didn't know we were going to do it tonight.
Holy shit.
It's pretty readily available now.
Yeah.
We bought this at the brewery, but I've seen it at two stores in the last week. So I think it's available probably not for long, but it's available right now.
Well, I know of like the last two versions, it comes out annually, that they were only available in Southern California, at least from what I saw. We saw it when we were down there with you. We didn't get it. But
they had this like calendar. They just came out with another version of it that's not even out yet. Yeah. So it's in the pipeline. So, okay, this beer, Imperial Stout, it's black as night.
You can't see.
There's obviously pours very dark.
There's a little like reddish color coming through on the sides, but that's typical.
That's the 13% saying hi.
Just towards the bottom of the glass, you can see a little bit of copper redness, but...
Mm-hmm.
And it's got
under the head. Yeah.
A kind of a tan colored head.
On the nose, you get that typical, you're going to expect the syrupy and alcoholy smell, but I kind of get like some cherry in there. Something that smells a little bit like maybe like cough medicine, kind of like a little bit of that.
Robitussin?
Yeah. Yeah. Alcohol?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Cherry and molasses.
Yeah, cherry is a good call.
Strong.
You get that.
Yeah.
I feel like I get a little bit of cinnamon on the palate. When I'm tasting this beer, I get a little bit of cinnamon, a lot of brown sugar.
I get it on the nose, too.
Oh, man.
Getting a little bit.
This is good.
Cinnamon.
Definitely.
We know what you're saying.
You know how cinnamon, if you eat it, it has that dryness, on your tongue, and I get a little of that dry
mouthfeel. Real cinnamon.
If you were to dip a cherry... And cinnamon.
Oh, you got it.
and molasses. And then like a chocolate covered apple, but like a cherry covered.
It's delicious. This is fantastic. I'm not typically a stout or porter guy.
I love them.
I'll be the first one to admit that. But when it gets into this realm, when it gets into the high octane stuff, that's really when I enjoy the style. And I don't know if that's weird.
No, you're just an alcoholic, Scott. That's cool.
Okay.
You tend to get a lot of flavor out of the high octane beers because they have to cover up the alcohol. Once you have that much alcohol,
if you don't put any other flavors in it, it's just going to taste like alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. This one seems to be like not really caring if there's alcohol. It's like,
I don't,
it's going to be a strong beer,
but I don't get the burn. I don't get any alcohol burn. Nope, after
I agree.
This.
Yeah. I was actually going to say that. I don't get alcohol burn.
I think this hits you right in the face when you drink it. It is strong. It's good, but it is strong.
Do you think that's the smell or the taste?
Yeah.
Because when it's coming up to my mouth and I can smell the alcohol really strong, but I don't taste it.
It's got an easy finish to it, but
I think
you can definitely tell that it's high in percentage.
No, I think it gives you a little uppercut. It does
alcohol wise.
Little kick, you mean?
Yeah, just, you know.
I'm talking about burn though. I'm talking about
no. Burn, it's smooth in
burn
that
wise.
Sense.
No,
right.
I think it's well balanced between both flavor and the alcohol presence.
Absolutely. And I think anything that's 13%, it's going to hit you because it's 13%. Yeah, but when you can do that without tasting alcohol,
yeah,
that's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah. They did a good job.
Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but 13% might be the highest alcohol percentage we've had on the show.
No.
No. I don't know what it
we've done 14 before.
14.
Hey, Jeff, call us back. You're breaking up.
All right. 1980s television.
It's funny when he starts breaking up like that because it's. He starts, I feel like he almost like he gets like he's kind of getting drunk or something. I don't know, but he's not.
Yeah, maybe he's not breaking up, and we just had too much to drink.
I feel like when he starts breaking up is when you guys should start doing the news. That way, there's that lag in between the reporter and the news anchors.
Like, live here in Pasadena. So, I'm glad we had this beer. This is one I've been looking to have a lot lately. So
no, this beer is phenomenal. I love this.
It's great.
Really good.
Is this like you said? It pops up every now and again. Is it a seasonal or is this a year round?
I don't know where they're at now. It's been seasonal for the first couple of years, and it was only available in Southern California.
Okay.
I know, like, by where Jeff lives, there's a Stone. What's the name of the place? The Stone Bar.
This is a Stone tasting room.
By your house. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's and Will Wheaton lives right there. So like that's the thing right there in Pasadena. God,
to run into Will Wheaton, that'd be amazing.
That's good. They did a good job on the Farkin.
It's a Farkin good beer.
Mm-hmm.
Stone, Farkin, Wheaton, Woot, Stout, Imperial Stout.
Yeah. Good job.
You know, one other note about Stone, what I thought was really interesting, Dallas and I went to the brewery. On tap, they had more non-Stone beers than Stone beers.
At the restaurant.
Yeah, at the restaurant. Really? They had about 13 Stone beers and about 18 non-Stone beers on tap.
You know,
that completely surprised me.
Including Sierra Nevada, Competition, you know, they had... Whatever the That's best really beers cool. you could think, you know, I think there was no ego.
They embraced great. They embraced the craft beer brotherhood.
Did they have any other like Southern California beers like
directly Southern California beers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it really surprised me. I thought it would be 100% Stone on tap. It's far from it.
Yeah, I feel like that's what you would expect.
From my experiences, some people are doing that. Just because what's nice is they get the local crowd in there from the beers, maybe that they're already comfortable with drinking, and it gets them into their establishment, and then they're like, hey, you know, try ours out. You know, it gives them an opportunity to introduce their craft beer to that new audience that might be coming in for the first time.
Agreed. Like, if it's only Stone... You know, maybe people want more variety, but if you're there, you're going to drink Stone beer because you're at Stone and almost half the menu is Stone. So I don't see why not.
Shall we try our last beer?
Yeah, let's move into Amplified Ale Works. This is called Rare Form. It's a barrel aged Belgian quad, 12%. It has a wax cap. And so... It's dangerous.
I wasn't prepared for that with my usual knife.
I got it.
Light pours here. That's when you take it off with a machete.
When did we go to Amplified, Jeff?
So we went there on Sunday after Coronado. It's in Pacific Beach, which is a suburb of San Diego, right on the beach.
Dallas has a look on his face like this, he doesn't it, remember it.
It was like a kebab place.
Okay, yeah. It was a restaurant. They had this thing. I've never heard of it. OTB has great fries, right?
Old Town Pizza and Tap House here in Elk Grove.
Correct. We mentioned them on every podcast.
Do you really?
Yes. Because I drink all my beer there. Okay. So,
I've never been there before.
No, this place, me neither. I don't host trivia there. Their kind of take on it, where they had fries, but it was like, you guys like OTP will do a lot of bacon and all these toppings and stuff. This was a salad with fries mixed into it. So it was greener.
Healthy.
The illusion of healthy.
But it actually worked really well. And I've never had anything like this.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Were they deep fried fries or were they baked? Well, I mean, I'm just seeing what.
They're just like your French fries.
Okay.
Did they also bread and fry the salad?
No. It was just regular salad.
That's blowing my mind with dressing
and stuff. But then they had the fries and everything. And it was pretty good. Like, we ordered this and just shared it between everybody. And we just devoured the whole thing. Just gone.
It was delicious, frankly. Not pretty good.
Wow.
It was like Middle Eastern fries with salad and sauce and meat with chicken. It was so good.
That's a trip.
Yeah, it was. I never had anything like it, but that was good.
I might have to go into OTP and be like, "Hey, like, will you mix some fries into a salad for me?"
That's gonna be such a bitch to make. Please don't.
I'm gonna only do it when you're there, Scott.
I won't. I'll be pouring beer, so I won't have.
That's
to make
true.
It.
Good point. I'm gonna only do it while Tyler's there.
So that was the most interesting part of this. They only had four beers on tap. They had their Electrocution IPA. It was kind of a lighter one. It was okay. The black IPA they had was actually better. And I didn't have that beer, but I tried some of Lance's, and that was probably the best beer. They had a Belgian beer as well. But it was a place where you have a view of the beach and they have an outdoor patio, but it was raining cats and dogs. And so everyone was like kind of inside, and it wasn't the place, wasn't at its peak performance. So caught it at a bad time.
Now, so this beer is a barrel-aged Belgian quad, and we've drank a lot of beer tonight.
There's a lot going on there.
We did?
Nah, I don't...
And this is not a beer they have on tap.
This is
a special beer.
All right. Tell the story about the beer and the guy. Do it.
So when we were there... We went to pay our bill, and the guy says, "Oh, do you also want to get a T-shirt?" I said, "Sure."
Classic.
And he says, "Do you want a T-shirt plus the special beer?" Ooh. I said, "Okay, tell me more." So it's like the beer costs $15 a bottle. The T-shirt's 10 or something. But if you buy them both, it's like 20. So we say, "Okay." I give him my size. He tries to find it. He can't find it. He offers to go look downstairs. Can't find it. In the end, we got no T-shirt.
Look, he was gone for 20 minutes looking for this thing.
Poor guy.
He was like, "Do you want me to use my break to go look for your T-shirt?"
Whoa!
Oh my, that's awesome.
Wow. And just and like I said, that, I mean, it's
I'm
not
like, I don't really care about the T-shirt. Like, if you want to, okay, I'm okay without the T-shirt.
He was gone forever.
In the end, he was gone forever.
He's like,
it's pouring rain. We're kind of anxious to get to the next brewery. So we settle on two beers. They were like $10 a bottle, which was pretty pricey for this 12-ounce bottle. No T-shirt, but it was very hyped up as this was like their best beer ever. So I've never had it. We've never had it. They don't have it on tap. It's bottled only. Wow. We have it here in front of us. Okay. I've been looking forward to this.
So is this bottle $10 or $15? What did we say?
$10.
Well, no, I think it's bottle. I think it's actually 15, but the guy probably felt bad for not finding the shirt. He's like, "You know, my wife's in labor right now. I should probably be calling her, but I'm looking for the shirt right now." He couldn't find it.
So it pours a, it's either a, I'd say a dark, dark amber, or maybe medium dark brown.
No, I'd go more amber. Man.
Yeah, dark, dark amber.
Yeah. I've lost the head on mine, so
smell that.
That nose. That's what I was just.
I think it's what Andy was alluding to, right?
It's kind of a caramel colored.
What was I getting to?
When you were saying that we've had a lot of beer tonight.
We've had a lot of beer tonight, and you know, we're getting heavier and heavier, and.
Well, that'll happen when you drink.
Well, I kind of wish that I had this more removed from that Woot Stout. Oh, I feel like I'm going to be influenced by the previous beer this one.
It smells like moonshine to me. Like it just smells like alcohol. It just smells like always smells alcohol.
I only drink legal liquor, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's legal now.
I get a lot of those same molasses. Dark brown sugar kind of smell.
Brown sugar.
I mean, it's technically it's
vanilla. Technically, are you guys getting any vanilla in there?
Belgian quad.
I
get some vanilla.
I agree with the vanilla.
Now that you say that,
it's a Belgian quad, you know, and a lot of the Belgian quads, they ramp up, and we talk about it a lot, the Belgian candy sugar. There's a little bit of that, but it's not overboard. A lot of the Belgian quads just get super sweet. This is sweet, but it's not over the top. It's a little bit more subdued. I think the vanilla helps.
I think it's probably balanced out by the alcohol.
Well, but that's what you're doing. When you make a Belgian quad, you're balancing a bunch of sugar versus making a bunch of alcohol, and you come out with a beer, and a lot of times it's too much sugar or it's too much alcohol.
No, this is perfect.
I'm not getting a kick from it. I'm not getting that alcohol kick, you know, like you're...
I thought I was going to.
But and maybe 12% is maybe that right level. If it was 14, maybe we'd be...
A little bit too much.
A little too much, but maybe they found that medium point.
It's funny, Scott, now that you said it smells like vanilla, all I can taste is vanilla.
Yeah.
The vanilla fits, for sure.
Very prominent to me.
But it's like that mellow flavor between the sweetness and between the alcohol. It's like vanilla.
Yeah. Dallas is right, though. It's I think, at the 12% mark, you get all the great smells. I like the alcohol smell.
Hands down, is the best beer I've ever had from Amplified.
I think this might be the only beer that I've had from Amplified.
Same.
Agreed. It is really good. This is a solid beer.
It's very good.
Of the three others I had, the four beers I've had, this is the best.
Jeff said that this is a $10 bottle, a 12-ounce bottle.
Yeah.
I would probably pay $16 for a bottle.
You would be happy with doing that.
This is I'll give this to you for $13 right now.
That's an empty bottle, so I'll give you
$3 and go on a tour.
Yeah, you know, it's I'll definitely,
sell this to you for $4.
So let me ask you guys.
All right, you got a deal.
Let me ask you guys this. I mean, is this Belgian, you know, the Belgian quad, is this something you sit down while you're watching a movie and you just kind of sip on? Is this how you guys drink it? Because for me, this little sample is probably
enough.
And great.
For me, a Belgian quad, in almost every case, is this situation exactly. We can split, not necessarily a 12-ounce bottle, but, you know, the bigger bottles. You can split it three or four ways.
Mm-hmm.
You have your 6 to 12 ounces at most.
And you're good.
And a lot of the beers we do on the show are exactly that. It's, hey, this is really interesting, but it's not a beer I can drink a 12-pack of on a weekly basis. You know?
No, but I can take this whole 12-ounce bottle and enjoy that.
But that's all you could
start
do.
To finish.
One bottle.
Yeah. One bottle at most.
One bottle, I think, is all I could do.
I could probably do two or three.
Really? No, I think one bottle. I'd be
even like a big bomber bottle.
I'm not saying that because it's too strong for me. It's not how it's strong. It's a very rich beer.
It's syrupy.
It's
quality.
The level of enjoyment.
Very rich, yeah.
On a beer, a lot of times, once you get past a certain amount of drunk, you enjoy everything you drink. Right. Beer with alcohol is good. Where, you know, a lot of these beers are, hey, if you want to taste the flavor before you're too drunk, you know, this is great beer, but you only need 4 or 5 ounces.
Also, let's not drink to get drunk. Let's drink to enjoy this beer.
That's what I wanted to do. But
that's what I wanted.
Unfortunately, when they're all 12 and 30%, you can't help it.
Right. Yeah.
San Diego, suck.
I do love my ethanol.
Yeah.
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 That's good.
San Diego.
You can always save it for later and have a flavor saver.
It always goes down smooth.
I don't know. I just wanted to say flavor saver at some point tonight.
I think that's a mustache.
I know.
I think we're supposed to talk right now.
I don't either.
It's a fact. It's the greatest city in the history of mankind. Discovered by the Germans in 1904, they named it San Diego, which of course in German means a whale's vagina.
No, there's no way that's correct.
I'm sorry, I was trying to impress you. I don't know what it means. I'll be honest, I don't think anyone knows what it means anymore. Scholars maintain that the translation was lost hundreds of years ago.
He just keeps
Doesn't
going.
It mean Saint Diego?
No.
No.
No, that's what it means. Really.
Well, agree to disagree.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up our San Diego show. Let's recap the beers that we've had so far, and then we'll decide what our favorite beer of the day was.
Real quick, I'd just like to thank you for playing an excerpt from Scott Sweeney's autobiography.
Yeah,
right there.
I just love Veronica Corningstone. She is hot. She is hot.
Oh, Sweeney.
Sorry. So we start.
I don't know if you know this, but
I'm
kind of a big deal.
So we started off with the San Diego 394 Pale Ale from Alesmith Brewing Company, the 2020 Gwyn beer. A little delay on the Crack
Attacks.
And then we had the dual Solus Ocasis IPAs, the two different same beers that are 7.5%, right?
Yep.
Moved on to our strange brew, the Senor Saison from Coronado. Then we had the Farking Wheaton Woot Stout Imperial Stout from Stone Brewing Company. And then we finished off with the Rare Form Barrel Aged Belgian Quad from Amplified Aleworks. All beers came from San Diego.
Yes. Or Escondido.
Or Escondido. Or
close enough.
A BevMo.
San Diego County.
Somewhere around here.
Yeah. All right, well, I think I want to end with the guests tonight. So okay. We're going to start with Steve tonight, and we'll move around, and we'll end up with Justin and Sweeney.
Mr. Well, Scott Sweeney.
For me, it was a slam dunk. Woot Stout was my favorite, hands down.
Why?
Do you have any? Can you provide any insight to your decision?
It just was so well balanced, had a great taste. I mean, for how high alcohol content it was delicious.
Okay.
I wasn't expecting that. Wow.
Shocking.
What do you think I was going to pick?
Dal, you're next.
I'm going to pick Woot Stout, Imperial Stout. I really enjoyed that beer. I mean, it punches you in the face with flavor, but it's still well balanced, and it's got, I don't know. I mean, over the last year, I've had a lot of these Imperial Stouts.
Yeah.
At OTP, they had that Stouter Day, and I got to try 14 different ones. And man, that really, I mentioned it on every podcast, every time one of these beers comes up, and that really does fit into that.
It fits the bill.
It fits the bill, and man, great beer. So that's mine. Jeff?
This was one of those rare shows where I really liked every single beer that we had. The Alesmith 394 was a phenomenal pale ale.
Wait till you tune in next week when we try the summer beers.
Yeah, don't wait for that. the Mike Hess, I like those IPAs. The Señor Saison was one of the best chili beers I've ever had.
Yeah.
But I think my beer of the day was Amplified Aleworks, the Rare Form Belgian Quad. I just thought the overall flavor, 12%, it was so tasty.
But it
vanilla.
It wasn't overwhelming in the alcohol.
No.
It was really good.
It was so smooth. Like, it's a small beer, but I love that beer. That was great. So I got to go with Amplified Aleworks Rare Form.
Yeah.
Now,
for me, 9 times out of 10, I go for the big beer, the big stout. You know, those last two beers we had were amazing, but they weren't even close to the best examples of those two types of beers. So with that said, I'm going to go with the 394 Pale.
Woo!
You know, it.
What?
I'm not saying it's the best, necessarily the best beer out of all of these, but for what it is, it gives me the most enjoyment.
For a 6% pale ale.
For me to pick one of a beer, that's a great beer.
It's a great beer. I'm just shocked that Andy picked it.
It's a great example of what it is, whereas the others are good examples of what they are. And so for me, I'm going to go with that.
All right.
Tony Gwynn.
My turn. Justin here. I really enjoyed all of the beers that we had tonight. They're all phenomenal beers. I recommend all of them. I thought that I was going to go with one of the Mike Hess beers until we got to the Woot Stout and the Rare Form. Those were both amazing, and I'm going to have to agree. I normally go for something like that, but I think I'm going to go for the beer of the day. I'm going to go with the Senior Saison because I think I finally found a chili beer that I actually like. It wasn't too hot. You got more smokiness out of it than you do heat. It's balanced. You still get a little bit of like light brightness that you normally do with a Saison. I thought that was a phenomenal beer. So I'm going with the Senior Saison.
Nice.
Yeah, like it.
Man, I am right there with you. The Senior Saison was phenomenal, but the Rare Form barrel-aged Belgian quad was fantastic. And I'm not even a stouter. I'm not a porter guy. I'm just not. But like I said, when it gets to that higher end, I think they did a great job with the vanilla notes and the combination of being well-balanced and the drinkability. I think... any day, if I go home and I'm sitting on my couch watching some Netflix, I'd want the Rare Form. So I'm going to give it my number two. My number one's going to go to the Senior Saison. Which is crazy. Which is crazy because like I said, I'm with Justin. It's been hard.
Well, this is not ranking your beer of the day. This is beer of the day. What's your... One beer of the day.
The one beer of the day?
Senior Frogs. What is it?
and the beers you had before recording this podcast don't count.
Okay. I'm going to say Senior Saison. I'm just because I've been searching for that beer that has a chili influence in it, that's not super overpowering. I love spicy foods in general. I normally don't mix eating spicy food with drinking beer, but this is something that left me wanting after you gave me the sample and I tried it. I reach for the bottle to go grab more. And I only poured a little bit in because I left some for somebody else because I thought it was that
That's
good.
All yours, buddy.
I'll take it.
So if that's if that's proof in the pudding, I would say then that's definitely my vote for the beer of the night, the Senior Saison.
Good choice.
Beer of the day.
What'd I say? Night. Beer of the month?
Well, it is nighttime.
Oh, beer of the night.
So. But that's splitting hairs.
Yes. All right.
We'll close it out with a San Diego band. All right, that's going to wrap up our first San Diego show. We went to 16 breweries. I got beers from every single one we went to. So this isn't the last San Diego show, but next week we're going to do summer beers. We're going to break it up a little bit and give you something a little different. Summer beers from all around the country. But we thank you for tuning in to this San Diego show. And invite you to check out our website, beerofthedaytoday.com. We'll see you next week for Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Justin Williams, Scott Sweeney, Steve Williamson. I'm Dallas Helliker. You've been listening to the Beer of the Day podcast.